What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Blindside Blitz. I am Jim McPhee, and of course, right there is Mr. Joe DiCapita.
What's going on, Blitz Nation? Welcome back for another week of all you do-it-yourself NFL. That's right. This week is all about do-it-yourself NFL because I'll tell you what, week five has thrown me for a loop. I can't figure it out. Hopefully, with your guys' help out there, we'll be able to come together, put our minds together, and figure this one out. But if you're new to the show, welcome to the show. We would be very happy if you guys could do us a huge favor. Head right over to YouTube, Grumblings Media, right there, that channel. Hit that subscribe button for us, please. Hit the thumbs up. It does help our channel out a lot. We are growing really rapidly, and we'd like to continue that growth. Make sure you share it to all your friends and family, anybody that loves NFL talk. And listen, we are live. So any comment that you make down below, we're going to respond to it, whether it be a question, whether it be just an opinion, or if it's just simply you want to talk about something that we're not talking about. We're here for you. And, of course, it doesn't stop there. You can also head over to our website, grumblingsmedia.com. You can check out all the latest and greatest episodes that we have available, whether it be political, sports, entertainment, you name it, it's there. Give it a look-see. And also, check out rumble.com. You can follow us there as well, and anywhere you get your podcasts.
All right. Yeah, Joe, and like you said, it's been crazy, a crazy season. We don't know what's going on yet. Everything's all over the place, injuries and galore. And, oh, boy, my Giants actually won a game. Yeah, I was excited. I can't believe that, you know. And I know we were talking to our buddy Tom Leiter. Shout out to Tom, who runs a NFL talk group on Facebook. Shout out to him and NFL updates, news and updates for them. I was ready to just get it in here. I was like, listen, you know, Neighbors isn't playing. Singletary's not playing. Seattle, you guys have this one in the bag. And Giants came to play. You know, they were marching down. I feel like that turnover that happened at the end zone that went all the way for, you know, a fumble recovery for a touchdown, I feel like he crossed the plate. That was a touchdown in that one. I really didn't think it was that, like, too, muddled that they couldn't turn that. But besides that, though, either way, it was a good game. It was back and forth. And I'm excited to have a win there.
Absolutely, bro. Good for you. But, hey, we got to give props to where props is due here. Everybody's been crowning on Daniel Jones for pretty much this whole season thus far. But the man came through, 23 of 34 passes, 257 yards passing, two TDs, and zero interceptions. And then also to help with that, they actually had a really good running game. The rookie, the sensation, Mr. Tracy Jr. getting it done on 18 carries, 129 yards. The dude looked amazing. And I tried to tell people before, when he got to the Giants, I was just saying, watch out for this kid. I know it's his rookie year. I know he hasn't had a ton of experience at the running back position in college. He basically just had 1 year in his senior year. But he was an up-and-coming player. And, man, he did not disappoint with the opportunity that he was given. So kudos to Mr. Tracy Jr. out there getting it done. And the Giants. Let's give the Giants a round of applause, everybody. Thank you, Giants, for surprising us once again, upsetting the Seattle Seahawks. And I'll tell you what, I didn't think the Giants – I honestly didn't think the Giants were going to win this game. I really thought 110% that Seattle had this game won, and this is why we call it Any Given Sunday.
That's right, Joe. So, you know, who hasn't been playing well, though, is the Jets. And that is the top news that's happening pretty much right about now. And there it is. We heard this morning, you know, it broke the internet a little bit. People are like, is this for real? And it is for real. There it is. Robert Saleh fired after a 2-3 start to the season here, Joe. And what are your thoughts on this, first of all, I guess? And do you think it was, you know, a justified firing? We know we had talked about him being potentially in the hot seat, and we had posted stuff on the Facebook page. But what do you think about this?
Well, I mean, honestly, I think it's too quick. I mean, if you're going to fire the guy because, I mean, this is his fourth year, right? And originally, he was brought in to not fix the offense. He was a defensive-minded coach looking to become a head coach. The Jets wanted him to be their head coach, but to figure out how to fix this pathetic defense that they had. That's really the reason why he was brought in. I feel like he did his job. defense mm-hmm. was stellar. It was top yep. five last year.
Yep.
And this
yep.
year, yeah, they're going through a little bit of struggles on the defensive side, but that is much attributed to the offense and lack thereof. How poor this offense has been running. The play calling's been horrendous. Everybody wants to pin it on, oh, well, Aaron Rodgers doesn't look like the Aaron Rodgers of old, and nobody's on the same page. Well, no one is on the same page. Not even the damn offensive coordinator can figure mm-hmm. out what to do with this mm-hmm. offense. You got Rodgers, a veteran. You got a shored up offensive line. You got more weapons this year. What are you doing? What's changed? That's it. They just added talent to that offensive side of the ball, and Nathaniel Hackett, the OC, can't figure out what to do with it. He has terrible game plans week to week to mm-hmm. week. And then in the games, when he changes, certain game situations, he just makes the wrong call.
Right.
And it's really stagnating this offense for the Jets. In turn, is having the defense to go out there over and over and over. And before you know it, they're tired. They can't, mm-hmm. Execute anymore. So for Robert Saleh, 5 weeks in, this is a team that they didn't have Rodgers last year. And we saw what they could do last year with the stellar defense. Now you have everybody coming back healthy this year. I thought Saleh deserved a year this season to prove that he can win with this team. And it's his fourth year. We get it. But you got to be kidding me. You already ripped the rug out from under his feet. And you say in 5 weeks' time, you're not a good head coach. You got to go. Well, this is the problem, Woody Johnson. The owner, by the way, just made this call by himself. He did not talk to anybody in the front office about it. He talked to Aaron Rodgers the night before, but mm-hmm. it was over. So, I mean, for Woody Johnson, who's an owner, who doesn't know X's and O's, doesn't know football really, like he's an mm-hmm. owner, but he just made the call himself, said, I felt like this was the thing to do. So you fired Robert Saleh. 5 weeks into the season, you're not out of the realm of possibility of making the playoffs. You're only 2-3. You're just below 500. So I felt like he deserved this year at least. If you want to fire him at the end of the year because you didn't make the playoffs or whatever, fine. But mm-hmm. I feel like this was way too much of a knee-jerk reaction from the owner to just can Robert Saleh now. What is in the near future for the Jets doesn't look great because you have Jason Albright, who's been called up, who's going to be the interim head coach now, and Nathaniel Hackett saves his job because there was rumors that Robert Saleh was getting ready to fire Nathaniel Hackett and put someone else in those shoes. And that might have been the right move. We're not going to be able to know. But instead, the owner decides to fire Robert Saleh. He's done. From all accounts, Robert says that he's not going to be looking for another job until 2025. He's going to take it easy and just relax because he's got to be – not only was he flat out shocked, but he's got to be super pissed that he wasn't given the opportunity to coach out the rest of the year and see what happens going forward.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I'm kind of like we knew he was on the hot seat, like I said. And, looking at the record the way it is, there's still room for improvement. That division with Buffalo losing twice now is close still. It's anybody's game, with Miami being banged up as well. Patriots not yep. looking so hot. Patriots, yeah. I was going to talk about them a little bit, but I guess they really have to because they're making the switch and going to Drake May as their starter moving forward here. So they're looking to make changes here and trying to get into the winning column here. But Saleh, again, he has had the losing seasons. We see his record there, 20-36. But again, had the quarterback though, and that's the thing. And really, when you talk about when they had Adam Gase too, and that's when they had Sam Darnold, couldn't really get him going and really. Get him on the start to be developing. Now you see him the way he's playing with Minnesota and playing well. You don't get under the right type of leadership and development team, and you could do something with that. And he didn't get that with the Jets, and it seems like the Jets have always had the issues with that. So now turning to Aaron Rodgers, he's got your plug and play. He's a future Hall of Famer. You've got Nathaniel Hackett there. But like you said, Nathaniel Hackett's offense – seems really bland again. It did a bit last year too as well. And with Zach Wilson and his escapability at times, able to get out of the pocket and make some plays and get you some victories here and there, was the reason for some of those wins. It wasn't anything spectacular that Nathaniel Hackett really pulled out of his hat.
And go back to Denver
this season here. Oh yeah, Denver. That's what I mean.
Go back to Denver. That's where Nathaniel Hackett got his opportunity to be a coach. To call the plays down there, failed miserably. He was out of there in no time.
Right.
So what gives you confidence there for the Jets to bring him in as the OC? Really?
Right. Yeah. And I know they want to say, you know, there's probably ripples here between Robert Saleh and Aaron Rodgers and things like that. I don't know about that so much. And I know that like people had said, hey, listen, if you were going to let go Nathaniel Hackett, then you're losing Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think that's the case either. You know, he might have been fairly tight or whatever with him, but I mean, it's an offensive coordinator. I don't think they're best buddies. They don't go out fishing together, things like that. You bring up Denver Broncos, they brought him in there as the head coach to entice to bring Aaron Rodgers in. And he said, no, you know, he wasn't going to go there. You know what I mean? Stay with Green Bay. And then, you know, eventually now he went to the Jets because I thought he saw the weapons they had. They had a good defense. It was the right type of setup for him. Nathaniel Hackett, I don't think, is the key to Aaron Rodgers being there or being good. And that's the thing. And like you said, you did hear that in the meeting this morning that he did actually turn over the hands of play calling, pulled it away from Nathaniel Hackett. He gave that job away to a different coach, and it said Nathaniel Hackett's no longer calling the plays. And like you said, so that leads to possibly he's going to be going down the road to potentially be fired. I don't think exactly that was the reason why all of a sudden Woody Johnson pulled him in. He's like, listen, I just heard that you were going to pull him from play calling. That's it. You're out of here. I don't think that was the issue. Especially the way Woody Johnson kind of brings it up. He kind of says, hey, listen, we needed to go in a different direction. You know, I think this other, you know, guys, the locker room behind him and things like that and something, but I'm in agreement with you. I mean, if you need to make the case to change some things, you obviously see the problem is glaring at you right in the face, and it is the offense. It certainly is the defense. You know what I mean? The defense, a top five, top two defense still this season, and this offense could not get it going at all, and that is obviously is the issue, not scoring. And so I don't understand it either. I understand, you know, not having a winning record, but look at what he had to deal with within that. And then at the same time, like you said, also having top 10 ranked defenses, he just needed to find the right offensive coordinator to help lead this team. And Nathaniel Hackett isn't it. And I think from here on, and Woody Johnson's kind of said it, you know, that I think more heads are going to roll as they make changes if this team keeps losing. Which I think will lose this week.
I mean, bottom line, here's what the deal is. The Jets, they've, for the last, I don't know, I mean, I can't even remember when the Jets were good.
The millennia. Right?
So, like, my thing with the Jets is that they continue to make bad decisions as an organization. And this is no exception right here. You move on from your head coach, which it's not like you went 0-5. Like, let's just say, like, you didn't have such a bad start to where you're like, well, this is definitely not going the way we thought. We can't take this anymore. We got to make a change. So I might be able to understand that more if they were 0-5 and you're like, well, someone's got to go. We got to point the blame on somebody. So let's just blame Robert Saleh. That makes a little bit more sense. But I mean, for you to fire him now, And there was even stories out there saying, oh, well, he lost the locker room. You know, the offensive players and defensive players, they don't see eye to eye. They're not on board with Saleh anymore. That was all bullshit. That's just media-driven BS. And all the players had his back. He had the locker room locked up. Like, this was a shock to everybody. Rodgers, even Rodgers with the phone call with Woody Johnson the night before. It's not Rodgers' call to say, hey, you should probably keep him. Like, this is the owner you're talking to. He's not going to tell him what to do. So it's like, this is your team. You're running it. That's the decision he came to. All right. Well, thanks for letting me know. But that's got to be a shock to Rodgers too. Like now, now the leadership of this team has taken a big turn. So obviously the players are professionals. They're going to rally with each other. They're going to rally behind Jason Albright as being the interim coach. They're going to try to make the best out of the rest of the season. But this doesn't change anything. Like if Woody Johnson thought somehow firing a defensive minded coach is going to all of a sudden change the offensive woes of the Jets for the foreseeing future of the season, like what kind of logic is that? So, I mean, if you're Woody Johnson, dude, do it. The best way to handle it as an owner is if you don't have football experience and you should not be part of these critical decisions like this on your own. You need to talk to people that actually know football, actually know like what may be the right response than to just fire your head coach. You're only 2-3. I just can't. To me, I was absolutely shocked when I heard this news. I could not even believe it. I thought it was fake. I thought, oh, this is just like a troll thing. This is just fake news. Everyone's kind of spreading it. No. Then all of a sudden, Adam Schefter reported it. Ian Rappaport reported it. All the major networks started reporting it like wildfire. So I honestly completely disagree with this decision. And I think that this might even hurt the Jets more going forward.
Yeah, and it was funny is the offense needed a change, right? And that's what Robert Saleh was doing, like starting to make changes. It's not like he wasn't like doing anything to help sit the situation. He was going to make a stand now at 2-3 while they had a chance to change some things up. He looked at the problem and tried to fix it, and he gets let go after it's all said and done. So I think he will find another job somewhere else shortly.
Next year. Next year. But honestly, if I was a team right now, I know what he said. He said he was going to take the rest of the year off. But I would still call him up and say, hey, we're interested in bringing you in. Maybe as just a DC, maybe even something more next year. But at least, kind of whisper in his ear a little bit to get the ball rolling.
Right. I've got already a team in mind I think that's going to fit perfectly, and I'll get to that in just a second. But right now we've got Back to the Stone Age.
What's going on, Stone Age?
Here tonight. Here he goes. Says, yo, make it make sense. I got to get to the comment again. There he goes. Make it make sense. The offense sucks and the defense is awesome. So they fire Saleh, deserved, and replace him with a DC Albright. He goes, should have hired Hackett. The worst OC in the NFL as well. Get rid of team cancer, Aaron Rodgers next. So he's got a few different situations here that he's bringing up, which, again, they're not going to get rid of Aaron Rodgers. He's here for this long run, and this is the whole reason they have all this. Yeah, and that's the reason they do that. Because, again, they feel like they could get somewhere. They're just not on the same page, and he's feeling the same way we are. We know that Robert Saleh, hasn't done the best as a record here, but like you said, he's a defensive-minded coach. The defense is awesome. Without Hassan Reddick, that hasn't even showed up,
Right, and then the other part of it all is the fact that he has been a decent head coach making decisions. Like, he's not the worst guy out there, and people are treating – or at least Woody Johnson is treating him as such. Like, he just makes tons of bad decisions. We're not going anywhere. We're not destroying or dominating teams like I thought we were going to. So I just think that this was just – it just doesn't make sense. Just like Stone Age just said, like, make it make sense. It doesn't.
It doesn't.
And the fact that you're also, by making this kind of big decision now, what's going to happen after this year with Rodgers? What's going to happen now with this coaching staff? Because if it continues to struggle, everybody's getting fired anyway. And you're going to have to start all over again with a new coaching regime, and you're gonna most likely, if that happens, you're gonna lose Rodgers. He's not gonna want to play anymore. He may retire. It's a possibility. He may want to go play somewhere else. And now that team is right back to where it started, not having a quarterback, losing players, and have to rebuild all over again. So, I I hope for Jets fans' sake out there, it doesn't get that bad, but it's not looking good.
Yeah, and how much is that? Then the issue fall and the problem fall on Douglas here, the GM. I mean, it's, again, the issue has been quarterback and things like that. You get Aaron Rodgers now, so that should solve your issue. You don't have to, you know, breed anybody in here and get them going. You know what I mean? And here you go. You've got a Hall of Famer quarterback to fix your problems, and you guys still can't get it done. It's because your GM has not been able to draft a quarterback.
Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is they had a quarterback. I don't know. Sam Darnold looks pretty darn good right now, doesn't he, guys? You know, if he had a little support when he was with the Jets and you built around him, who knows? We might be talking about Sam Darnold as one of the best quarterbacks right now as a Jet, but that didn't happen. They decided to move on from him. Zach Wilson. Zach Wilson was – he was a difficult developmental quarterback because he would – kind of like Daniel Jones – where he would make some great plays, then he would make some bonehead ones. And then also with the injuries that he kept getting, that kind of deterred them from going with him. So it's like they've had opportunities to kind of latch onto a quarterback, build around him, but they just didn't do it the right way. And for the last, I don't know, 2 years, I feel like Joe Douglas did a really good job. And don't get me wrong, I couldn't stand Joe Douglas. I was calling for his head 3 years ago. And saying he's not worth the GM, you know, position. He needs to go. He's not making the right moves, not drafting well. He trades away all his first rounders. But now I give him kudos. The last 2 years, he's done a good job of bringing in free agents. He's done a good job drafting. And, and now you have Rodgers there. Don't waste it. And it seems like, at least initially right now with this decision, it seems like this might end up going down a bad turn here.
All right, we've got Mike Tackett in the house with us tonight, too.
What's going on, Mike?
Mike says, Aaron Rodgers has as many conference championships as Rex Grossman. A-Rod isn't on that LeBron level or Tom Brady level. He needs to be a better teammate and avoid drama for once.
Well, I mean, let's face it. Rodgers is a Hall of Famer. Like, he's not Rex Grossman. Like, he might have as many conference championships as Rex, but here's the thing. He's a 10 times better quarterback than him. It's not even close. Now, you can go back and say, well, you know, Rodgers, like, he had a really good team around him. And, of course, like, but he's also really good. We've already seen him play extremely well. So it's not like, but now we're talking about Rodgers being, like, now he's older. Now he's like kind of in that age bracket to where you never know. Maybe he decides after this year call quits regardless of what happens because he's had enough. And then also you got to worry about the dip in production. And part of that is we named it back in training camp when he had 2 weeks off and he was on vacation. He wasn't like working out outside of the facility. No, he's on vacation for a couple of weeks instead of working with the team at training camp. Getting better chemistry with the receivers, teaching the receivers like, hey, in this type of set, this is what I want to see from you. I want you to look for the back shoulder throw because that's my go-to. That's what I like to do with this type of coverage. But no, he wasn't there. So it's like, it's a shame on you towards Rodgers, but it's also a shame on you for the Jets offensively making those terrible calls. So it goes hand in hand. I feel like it's not just Rodgers to blame. It's the offensive coordinator to blame a lot of it too, like maybe half of the blame. But all in all, it's right now, it's a mess. Offensively, they just can't figure it out.
Right. And like I said, I think down the road, just more heads are going to roll here as we go week to week.
Yeah, the more losses, right.
Right. Also says, how many successful teams have there been with a toxic quarterback situation? Not many. And I don't know. Well, it all depends because you do see the issues on the sidelines. You see Aaron Rodgers. I think he's even talking to wide receivers. I don't think they're really yelling at each other. I don't think he's like, you know, bossing people around, you know, so here and there. I think there are, but I don't think it's like drama. You know what I mean? I don't think it's toxic.
Hold on a second. There is drama with Garrett Wilson because Garrett Wilson, by all accounts, is a hothead. He has been in college. He is now in the NFL. So there is sometimes disagreements about what they should do or how they should attack this team or plays that they should be running. So Garrett Wilson is the toxic trait. Garrett Wilson is the toxic one on that offense, mm-hmm. more than Rodgers. Rodgers is don't get me wrong, there are toxic things that maybe Rodgers has an opinion on, mm-hmm. but all in all, he's a professional quarterback. Like, he's not there to just stir the pot and make some kind of craziness happen, and then that just derails the team. That's not his MO. I understand, like, there are some things that he might have said in the past and stuff like that, but in the end, like, you have a really good quarterback with this team, and they're just not in line. The offensive coordinator is not in line. Aaron Rodgers has got to be aggravated. Why wouldn't he be? And the other part is, like, with Garrett Wilson, I wouldn't be shocked, honestly, like, if Rodgers is planning on to move on. Like, I know he's a great player, you know, Garrett Wilson, up-and-coming, young, in his prime type of player, but if the Jets wanted to, they might move on from him because of his toxicness. So call me crazy, but, like, usually, you know, just like Mike said, like, you worry about toxicity and drama. Mm-hmm. Well, if Garrett Wilson keeps going down the path he's going, he might find himself in a different jersey.
Right, yeah, because a lot of times, you know, diva wide receivers, if, you know, you're not even putting up the numbers, you know, you're also not very worth it to the team, you know. But, you know, he might find a spot somewhere else where it doesn't matter, like the Chiefs and things like that. You know, they grab guys like that all the time. I mean, we'll get Juju having a day here, you know, and he wasn't working out anywhere, you know, with New England or wherever else. But let us know in the comments about what you think about, you know, the head coach firing. But then also Robert Saleh, if you think there's a job out there for him that he can maybe go into this season, I know he said wait until next year, but even next year, let us know. I'm going to say one right now, because instantly when I'm thinking that, hey, this guy put up a top five defense for the past 4 years, like, you know, he can help a team now that has high expectations that really can kind of turn it around still this early in the game. And I was looking at the Cincinnati Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals on defense, 31st ranked in the NFL, just not very good. And that offense had a slow start, but now it seems like they're getting their offense going. But the defense giving up the points and not looking as good as they used to, but they had let some of their guys go, missing Jesse Bates right now, you know, things like that too. So I think if you put a Robert Saleh into that defense and maybe switch it up a little bit here, that could potentially – help turn that team around at this point in time and trying to make a push to get back involved in this playoff run. Because right now, if the pace that they're on, they're going to be in trouble and miss the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know about that. Like, Zach Taylor, like, with that offense and now it's starting to catch on fire. Like, Jamar Chase is going bonkers. You know, T. Higgins. It happened as soon as T. Higgins came back. Like, that's right. What it is. Like, they finally got the personnel that they needed to run their offense accurately and better. And with Zach Taylor, like, that offense is – there's a whole reason why they brought him in, a whole reason why he's their head coach. So I don't see him getting fired or anything like that.
No, I don't mean fire him. I mean hire Saleh as a defensive coordinator.
And that's if Robert Saleh doesn't view if wants he, another he, head coaching job.
But a lot of people sometimes do, but a lot of times people just go back to defensive coordinator until they kind of prove they can be right now.
Usually it happens that way when they have no interest as a head coach. Like, it's tough to give up that power once you've had it once before. So, like, you know, he could still be a D coordinator for another team and a HC, just like he was with the Jets. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I mean, I don't know. I think it would be an excellent hire for Cincinnati, for sure. I think anybody that needs defensive help, he would be an excellent hire for, because he has been proven. Like, look at D'Amico Ryans when he was a DC for the Niners. I had my doubts because he was just a former player. I was just like, I don't know. But he really showed out, like, as a D coordinator. And now he's showing out as a head coach and a defensive-minded guy. So it happens. You know, and Robert Saleh, whether he does take another head coaching job elsewhere, because we all know that seats are heating up right now. It's still early in the season, but now, you know, you got coaches that are starting to look over their shoulder because, like, hey, this is not panning out how I was hoping. Like Doug Peterson with Jacksonville.
Yeah, Doug Peterson has the next hottest seat right now.
Even now, newly signed head coach Antonio Pierce with the Raiders. There's a lot of people calling for his head. It's not players. This is all fan bases saying this. So I know they don't matter really, but again, heat is heat. So it's one of these things where by the end of the season, we're going to have a better picture to see who's going to be pretty much out as a head coach. And we'll definitely revisit that. And then to see who could possibly refill those vacancies. But it's just one of those things, man. Like Robert Saleh, I think is a phenomenal coach, whether he is an HC somewhere next year or just a DC, you can't miss with him.
Right, right. Yeah, and that's the thing, too, is like we're going to weigh out this season, see how far, you know, Jeff Albright can bring this team, see if the team does rally around him and, you know, if he really is that locker room guy, this team's going to fall behind him. But that offense is really, truly have to get better. And then at the end of the season, if it ends up being, you know, a wash, they're not very good. I know people are instantly right now ready to jump on the whole, Bill Belichick thing and all this other crap and things, but I don't see that happening either. And Bill's not going to go into that. I don't think he's going to step into that situation. You know what I mean?
It depends what that situation entails.
Right.
Because he has that proven, you know, ability as a long-time experienced type of coach and all that. He's been there, done that type of deal. And honestly, they could spin that to keep Rodgers and say, hey, listen, we're going to get better leadership. We're thinking about bringing Bill in. What do you think about that decision? Would you be for it? Would you be against it? You know, we'd love for you to stay a Jet. You know, would this entice you to stay a little longer? So that could also be a bargaining chip for the Jets if they were to kind of pull that off. But here's the thing. We all know Bill Belichick loves power. He loves the ability to make the calls as a GM. He loves that big time say and run the show. So does that mean that they're going to end up firing Joe Douglas at the end of the year? Because that would be maybe another chip that has to fall in order to even pursue Bill.
Yeah. One thing I had thought of today is a potential head coach hiring for next year if this goes awry is Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel has been proven to be a winner, has taken the Tennessee Titans deep into the playoffs, has beaten Bill Belichick in the playoffs, and I was surprised that he didn't end up landing a job this season. There he is as an assistant with the Cleveland Browns, and I think, again, the locker room's behind him, the players love him. I think he's got the talent. He's got the what it takes to be that leader. I think even if you did have Aaron Rodgers as your quarterback back, I think he could be able to handle him on top of it as well. You would still have a good defense, but he's also would be focused on fixing that offense. So I think that would be a great hire if that ends up being a reality next season.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Like Mike Vrabel, like a guy that maybe a lot of people forgot about, you know, because he's not out in the limelight, you know, running up and down the sidelines and yelling at people like he used to do. So that's an interesting take. I just think that Cleveland has other plans for Mike. Like, I'm not saying anything, but it's awful funny how Cleveland jumped on the opportunity to bring him in on the staff, sign him up. And what seems to be like this Browns team continues to struggle. It wouldn't be out of the realm of possibility where Kevin Stefanski, even though he just signed a new deal, Cleveland moves on from him. And now insert Mike Vrabel into that head coaching spot for the Browns. He would be the perfect head coach for the Browns. Hard-nosed, disciplined type of guy, and just no holds bar. Like, this guy is a leader. He gets after it. The players rally around him, and he has full respect, obviously, wherever he goes. So I think that would be an interesting play for Cleveland since they already have him on the books. Why not keep him there? If Stefanski can't turn this thing around, which it looks like it's not going to work right now, then why not just say, you know what, we tried. He's had plenty of years to get this thing turned around. We had Deshaun Watson last year for a limited time. We have him now, and he's healthy, and we're still not seeing results. Maybe it's time to kind of just change everything all over again, bring in Mike, and let's see what Mike Vrabel can do. So that's the other thing, too, is I almost have a hard time believing that Cleveland will just let him go without giving him the head coaching job. Or at least
right. We had talked about that in the offseason when they grabbed him. I'm like, this is a serious situation here because, again, what are they doing here? They must have some sort of inner lining plan here. And then they gave the extension to Stefanski. And I was like, oh, you know, a little head scratcher. But like you said, things still change, though. So whether they gave an extension or not, things do change, you know.
That's
the
thing, too. I really thought that maybe Robert Saleh being cut, maybe another team say, hey, we know you don't want to coach. Maybe you don't have to be a DC right away. Maybe you don't have to be the head coach right away or whatever. But why don't you just come be our linebackers coach? Why don't you just come and be our D-line coach? Be something on the staff. Or be like, you know, just be an advisor. You know how they like to label some guys that are on the staff advisors or whatever.
Right.
A defensive advisor or whatever just for now. And then next year, I can't guarantee anything.
Yeah, like that's basically what Vrabel is.
You would be in line, seriously, for a really major promotion. So that maybe that might entice Robert Saleh. They're like, you know what? I know I said I was going to sit out, but maybe I just join a staff, just take a chill the rest of the year. No pressure on me.
Yeah.
I'm not the D coordinator. I'm not the head coach. So maybe a team could entice him to at least hop on the staff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely. So there you go. Robert Saleh out, you know, and we'll see what happens with the Jets. They've got a long road to go to get this offense going. So I'm interested to see what transpires after this. And now I think the clock is ticking on Nathaniel Hackett. It's got to be all eyes on him right now. And like you said, also Doug Peterson, other hot seats out there. We'll follow that closely in the weeks ahead. And without that win, I tell you what, if they did not win this week, Doug Peterson's probably being let go today as well, if not, you know, yesterday.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, I think there was even rumors of his seat heating up really hot this past week because, and you know, and I think you noticed something too, like the team, the Jaguars. They played really hard from the beginning to the end of that game. And I think they were a little concerned that if they lost again, that now Doug Peterson is gone, they're going to have to start all over again with the coaching thing. Now, that doesn't mean that it still can't happen because they are one of those teams that are struggling offensively and the defense has shown flashes, but again, still hasn't put it all together either. So, team that's continuing to struggle. Let's see if they kind of maybe turn the corner a little bit now for Doug Peterson's sake. But another team that is still struggling and might lead to another firing as well.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let's bring it on into the San Francisco 49ers now, a team that we kind of saw being a leader, you know, in this season here. We had also talked about when we looked at Vegas's, I think, records here. We were going to do over-under and things. And we were saying, hey, 11, that seems really reachable in this one, what they did last season. But, you know, they've had injuries. We see that too. But the team is still so talented around that they should have been able to win some of these games, especially, you know, the one against the Rams that they had blew a double-digit lead.
Oh.
Well, now this one, going into the fourth quarter, winning by 10 points, and you end up losing by one.
And yeah, they had that lead.
You cannot.
They had the lead. They gave it up.
Like that and letting it give up and turnovers. And Shanahan had brought it up, too, when he was asked about this. There's a quote there that, again, you go into the game plan. Obviously, you're saying, hey, whoever wins the turnover battles is going to win the game and things. And it looked like ahead of time, you know, in that game last week, you know, they got the turnover right away, you know, score out of it. It was going good for them. But it goes to show you, too, and Kyle Shanahan has shown this in the past in giving up leads. This is why they haven't won a Super Bowl, Joe. We've talked about this. He's had the lead when he was offensive coordinator with the Atlanta Falcons. He had the lead in the previous two Super Bowls that he was in against the Chiefs both times and failed to pull out the victory again, especially in this last one. And now when you don't have the weapons in there because of injuries, you know, Christian McCaffrey, things like that, you know, to help get you back in it, it's more difficult. But we've seen this time and time again with this team. And now he's frustrated with everybody, understands that he cannot keep going like this and that they expected more out of this season. And they've got to kind of turn it around here. But luckily for them, in their division, Nobody's really stretching their legs out here, so it's a tight division still here. And they're to take the playoff run, it is still reachable.
Absolutely, and this is the other thing too. They've been decimated by injuries. Like they still managed to kind of find a way to like stay in games. It's not like they're being blown out either. Like they're right there. They have the lead at most times, and they just kind of just give it up in the end. And they escape away with a loss, but just barely. Like, it's just one of those things. But like when this team is fully arsenaled, like, you know, and I'm not trying to make excuses for them, but these are facts. When you have a Deebo Samuel, when you have everybody at your disposal, you know, maybe not Christian McCaffrey, because we know that his injury is a little bit more serious. It's going to take a lot more time before he can even come back. But they got Jordan Mason, who's been killing it for him.
Yep.
He had a great game this past game. And then on top of that, you know, when you have a cohesive unit, George Kittle was there this past week. You saw him kind of get involved in that offense. Brandon Ayuk got involved, you know, but you just don't have your key component. And that's what Kyle Shanahan is waiting for. Like having Deebo completely healthy and able to kind of run him around a lot more, and that really kind of puts defenses on their heels, is now they can't just be worried about, you know, the pass with Brock Purdy and everything, but they also got to worry about little niche plays that they like to do with sweeps and little jump off passes and everything. I want them to kind of get back to that, because I don't think they need all the starters back to do that. And I feel like they've changed their identity a little bit. You know, Kyle Shanahan is not, you know, doing the same things that he would do with a Deebo in there full time and 100% healthy with everybody at his disposal. It's just one of these things where, like, I feel like he gets in his head sometimes and kind of gets a little, not confused, but just kind of like, just not having the same, you know, just not letting the game flow to him. You know what I mean? Just not calling the plays like he normally calls them. So it's like, I feel like he gets in his own way a lot of times. And we talk about how he's letting games get away. Dude, run the freaking ball, man. Stop thinking that you have to throw all the time. I understand there's situations where, like, it might be a 3rd and 7 where you're trying to pick up the first down. You got to throw the ball. I get it. But use the run more often. Like, sometimes there's no team that does adjustments better than the Kansas City Chiefs right now. They put down 2 starting receivers. And Andy Reid finds a way to adapt. He has a young rookie in Xavier Worthy. Is he just taking over the NFL? No. But he has a bunch of tight ends out there, and they have replaced the receivers. They're the ones getting the ball more often. Kyle Shanahan needs to do the same thing. He needs to adapt to what he has and make smart football calls, you know, make smart plays. And I feel like the problem is for him is like he's too used to having all these toys and just being able to, no matter what play he picks, it's going to work because he has all of them. But now when you're limited, you're going to have to change the way you call a game. You're going to have to change based on your opponent that you're facing. Right. So for Kyle Shanahan, like, he just needs to figure it out. Like, he needs to, like, you know, start to wake up, say, hey, listen, what did I make mistakes on as a play caller? Okay, well, this situation, this team, I had to do this a little bit differently. I think we would have done better if I did this a little differently. I'm going to do that next time. Learn from your mistakes, bro. Because I'm sorry, but, you know, Forrest Gump would just tell you, run, Kyle, run. Because in the Super Bowl, you've been to the Super Bowl 2 times. You had the win.
Yes.
Both times. What did you do? For some reason, in your mind, you thought, I should still throw. Turning the ball over, getting Matt Ryan sacked with the Atlanta Falcons, not running the clock down.
3 and outs, yep.
And even if, let's just say, even if it was a 3 and out, run that clock down. Now there's way less time for the New England Patriots to even think about maybe even having a comeback. And then you look at the Niners when they were in the Super Bowl. Dude, run the clock, bro. You had the lead. Run the clock down. Make it really difficult for the Chiefs to come back. Just played into those teams' hands. So, Kyle Shanahan, hopefully he learns from his mistakes. And I'm not worried about the Niners. Going to be honest with you. Like, this is a team that you said it, Jim. They are very, they're very good roster-wise. They have a bunch of playmakers. And because of the division being so tight, it's only five games in. I'm not going to hit the panic button yet. I think they're a team that's going to get right back on their horse, and they're going to charge forward for the playoffs like we expected them to.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think so, too. Again, as they start to get healthy, I think they'll come back. And I really don't think that they're out of the conversation for the Davante Adams trade still, too, because that hammer still has to fall down here. So, and we've seen them do it before. You know, when we thought they were good before and then they wanted that little something to help get them over the hump, they went and made that trade for Christian McCaffrey. So I'm not putting them out of that conversation. They have the money. It's the situation, at least for right now, which is good enough for them. And we've also talked about in previous shows about the scenario that they could actually use and players to use in that trade to make it feasible for them and still be able to sign Brock Purdy to a bigger deal here and lock him in.
Yeah, and that's the other thing, too, is like here's what – with the whole Davante Adams thing, obviously they're a team that could do it. They have the money. Like you said, they definitely have – they could give up the capital for him. That's not even a worry because they're pushing for the Super Bowl. That's their goal. Anything less than that is a failure to them. Mm-hmm. So that's not important right now. They're not building a team. They're pushing for that chip. So the one thing that I'll say is I was thinking about it is like with the emergence of Juwan
Jennings,
mm-hmm. it makes it probably not likely now because given the opportunity, balled the hell out. You got Brandon Ayuk still there. Debo's going to be back healthy. So maybe that receiving core is a little bit more crowded. If they, not to say that they wouldn't do it or couldn't do it, but how would you work all these pieces into play? Like, you might say, oh, well, Juwan's just going to get benched. It's fine. Juwan's going to get benched. Well, you don't want to lose him in the future. He's a young, up-and-coming player. Frickin' Davante Adams is 32, going to be 33 on Christmas. So, I mean, he's not getting any younger. If anything, you have him for this year, reevaluate. You got to do something with that contract to so it's not like a heavy burden next year. But what does that mean? Like, are you just going to have him for just this year, then move on from him? Or – That's the thing that kind of clouds it up for me is the fact that I really don't think now that I think about it, it's not that they won't do it or can't do it. It's more like, is it really worth it at this point? I know it's exciting to get Davante Adams in your jersey and it'll be freaking awesome, right? But is it really likely? Like, that's the thing kind of I'm pulling back a little bit more now that I think about the Niners and what their current situation is. And you mentioned, Jim, the key thing is, yes, they have a lot of money. But maybe they're waiting, holding on to that money to give Brock Purdy. We'll have to wait and see. Hell, I mean, if the Niners pull it off, good for them. But it's one of those things right now.
Oh, yeah. All right. So it's going to be getting to our weekly picks here in just a second. Joe, why don't you tell everybody where they can find more shows of us, you know, here, whether it be on your audio podcast or video and others like us from Grumblings Media.
Yeah, guys, listen, head over to our website, grumblingsmedia.com. There you're going to find a whole bunch of podcasts, all different shapes and sizes for you, sports, entertainment, political, you name it, it's there. You can check out also articles on grumblingsmedia.com and head over to the YouTube channel for us because we are growing fast. We want to keep growing fast. We want to reach enormous amounts of people and subscribers out there. So help us by going over ahead and over to YouTube, Grumblings Media on that channel. Make sure you hit that subscribe button while you're there. And if you would be so kind, make sure you hit the thumbs up for us too. It does go a long way. It lets YouTube know the algorithm like, hey, these guys are they're rocking it. So let's continue to hit those thumbs up. Share the video to all your family and friends. And also, check us out on Rumble.com and anywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, definitely. I posed a question out there for everybody. What is the best division in the league out there, and what is the worst out there, too, as well? So let us know in the comments, too, what you think so far in the league. What's the best division? What's the worst? Right now, for me, when I was gauging it and I'm looking at points scored against and points driven towards people. You got to look at the NFC North right now. The way now the Chicago's starting to come back into this thing. Uh-huh. Minnesota just trouncing people. So for me, and you look at the points differential too for everything, that division with Green Bay, even though they're not they're still competitive and they're still a good team, you know. And uh-huh. So I'd say that division is the best division in the league currently right now, with a couple of more that are arguable right now. I think with the emergence of the Washington Commanders and now Giants, perhaps if they can get a couple together with, you know, the Cowboys can string a few more together, that potentially could be a pretty good division here. And then when I look at the worst division, I'm looking at points scored and given up. The AFC West is not very good. I mean, and even with the Kansas City Chiefs being 5-0, they're one of those, if you want
to talk about
contender, pretender, fool's gold is a perfect description for that. I think they're pretenders at this point. I mean, they still find a way to win somehow, and that's the thing that's a head-scratcher for a lot of people and an annoyance, and where I think a lot of people lead to pointing fingers at them and the referees. But the proof is there, though, too. They're not really playing well, not putting up points. They're getting scored on. Patrick Mahomes doesn't look very good. You know, Travis Kelce not, you know, putting up great numbers. And then you get to the Chargers, your Raiders, you know, so all together. And then now the Broncos are still starting to come along here. But for them, it's really a low scoring, except for last week they ended up putting up over 20 points for the first time in a while. So, you know, I think if you look at the teams in the worst division, I thought the AFC West was one of those teams.
I would say for worst for me would be the AFC East. I mean, all those teams are struggling. Like you might make the case, oh, well, the Bills were strong early in the season. Well, they're 3-2 now. Like the Jets are 2-3. The Dolphins are 2-3. The Patriots are 1-4, kind of like what we expected for the Patriots. Right. But still, like there's some positive news for the Patriots fans out there. Yes, you're going to still want to go because now you're going to want to see Drake May play. Like that's kind of now they finally – woke up and said, hey, maybe we put the kid out there because things are looking dismal with Jacoby Brissett out there taking punishment. At least Drake May can run out of harm's way.
Right. But,
like, for me, AFC East, they're all four teams. I thought that Dolphins, Jets, Bills, and obviously the caveat of all this is that Tua's out. Like, they're starting quarterback for Dolphins.
Yeah.
So you take that team like a grain of salt. Currently right now until Tua comes back. But the Jets and Bills, used to be run away from everybody early in the season and just kind of take over the division. They're not doing that. This is so close. The Jets are right there. The Dolphins were still right there, which is surprising because they don't have Tua. So when he comes back, I got nothing to think but other than that offense is going to just be so much better and take over teams. So to me right now, currently, I would say the AFC East is the weakest for me. And then I would have to kind of agree as far as the NFC goes, as strongest division is easily that NFC North. Like you have the Bears, which I think we talk about the Chiefs being fool's gold. To me, the Bears are fool's gold. They're 3-2, but they're lucky to be 3-2. Their defense is really good, but their offense has been struggling until last week. Caleb, gotta give him credit. Caleb Williams had a phenomenal game, but it wasn't against a great opponent. So, you know, take that like a grain of salt. And then the Packers, obviously missing Jordan Love hurt them immensely, and it should have. But look for the Green Bay Packers fan and get right back in this race now that Love is healthy. They got some other guys healthy. Lions, we all know how good they are, and Vikings, they are surprising a lot of people. Not really us, though. We kind of foresaw this coming.
All right, so here we go, Joe. Let's get to our Week 6 picks now. The competition, we don't have a competition on this show, but the picks, we're not looking so hot this year, but this year has been one for the record books, I think, and the way these teams have been. So we're just going to roll with it here. So getting to Thursday night's game, it's the San Francisco 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks here. San Francisco looking to right the ship. Seattle. You know, I'm watching that game. You talk about diva wide receivers or even wide receivers that are used to getting the ball or even getting older, stuck in a situation here. I'm wondering if at one point DK Metcalf gets kind of frustrated with the way the Seattle Seahawks are, even at this point, because it seemed like the Seattle Seahawks have been pretty good and been able to make some pushes, but not exactly there. And now if this season falls apart, I don't know if I'm him, and maybe I'm wrong here, but I would be kind of like, you know, maybe I need to look elsewhere here, because, you know, it's been nice that we've been able to keep these guys together here with him, Smith and Jigba, and, you know, Lockett, but I want to win, you know what I mean? And I want to move somewhere where I have an opportunity to get a championship, and I don't see that here right now.
Yeah, you know, and that's the thing, too, is like, I don't know. I mean, Seattle's kind of been one of those teams where they've managed to kind of weather the storm after Russell Wilson, them moving on from him and getting a lot of collateral for him. And they've built this team up pretty well. Like, the defense is pretty solid. It's a little banged up right now, but still solid. The offense, it's going to only go as far as Geno takes them. And Geno has been better than last year, but is that enough? Like, I don't think this year, like, Geno Smith is going to carry them to the Super Bowl. I really don't. It could happen. Maybe completely wrong about that, but that's why we play the games. But at the same time, it makes me wonder, like, what's the end result now? Like, you have receiving core that everybody would love to have. You have Kenneth Walker Jr., who's just an absolute menace with the ball in his hands. The offensive line has been kind of like, they built it, but it's not finished. The foundation isn't completely finished building that offensive line. So we've noticed there's a little bit of struggles here and there with that. And the defense, like we said, like, there are some injuries, but all in all, it's a very solid team. So I don't know. DK Metcalf, if I'm him, I'm not going to really push the envelope too much in terms of like, oh, I need to get out of here. I want you guys to trade me. On the other part of it, it's like, I could see like, hey, what's the, you know, kind of have a conversation behind closed doors with maybe the GM. Say, hey, I got some concerns, man, going forward. Like, is Geno in for like long term? Like, are we going to rock with him forever?
Yeah,
or maybe are you thinking this upcoming draft, if you like someone, maybe we're going to bring in a new quarterback and see if he could be the real deal. So.
Right.
That could be the only kind of thing. I think you might have a conversation, but I don't think he's going to really, like, make a play to leave.
I want out.
Let's face it. Like, this team is really not that bad. They actually have talent all throughout the roster. So I don't know if DK would really want to leave this already, because it could just be if you want to leave now. Okay, fine. We'll trade you to wherever we want. All right, bye. You're going to go to the worst team. You know, like, it could be way worse. So. Maybe he doesn't kind of, but maybe he does have a conversation at least for like, hey, I just need to know what's going on in the future.
Yeah, and that kind of leads us to now this game here, the 49ers and the Seattle Seahawks, Seattle at home. But I watched that game last week, and Brian Burns was in the backfield multiple times. just easily. I mean, a lot of pressure from the Giants. They had 6 sacks, I think, or maybe even a little more.
God, they were killing it.
That offensive line didn't look very good, especially on that edge. And, you know, now they meet this 49ers, and if Nick Bosa is on that edge here, too, I think he's getting in there all day long. So I think that's going to be an issue here for Seattle and Geno Smith. So I think this is a good rivalry game. I think it could potentially be close, but this is the game that the San Francisco 49ers need to pull out a win. They need to do it convincingly and not give up any kind of lead here, and to keep up in this division again. And the best way to get back in here when you do have a losing record is beat the teams in your division and win. So I like the 49ers in this one, in this rivalry game.
Yeah, and that would just even them both up. They'd both be 3-3 at that point, so they'd be tied if that was to happen.
And real quick, going to the 49ers at this point.
Yeah, real quick for DK Metcalf, little update on his contract situation. Like, next year is his last year of his deal.
So
he's due $18 million next year because he's been paid so low. They backloaded everything to like the last season. So $18 million is what he's due next year. It would be very wise for the Seattle Seahawks to not let this contract negotiation period go to waste, and don't wait. Don't wait till next year to kind of work out a deal. You need this dude in your arsenal. You need to keep him because he's a very important part of your offense, and why risk losing him? Because just like you mentioned, Jim, maybe he has that conversation about possibly leaving. Well, it might not have to have too much of a conversation because his contract ends after next season in 2025. So they're going to have to work on something here. And if they don't, then maybe he does look to kind of like say, hey, I want to test free agency. But here's the thing. The teams have the luxury of placing that franchise tag on him and holding on to him for another year. If they want to pay that kind of big number for one season, that'll be up to Seattle. But just want to kind of like update everybody on
that's good because that could be a talking point down the road here too as we get closer to what this team looks like at the end of the season. Yeah. And things like that. So that's something we'll definitely keep a finger on the pulse.
This is a team where, like, you know, for DK Metcalf, you know, who knows? Maybe he does want out. Maybe he doesn't want to work with Geno Smith anymore. But, again, we'll have to wait and see how that all shakes out. But for Seattle, they're definitely healthier than the Niners. They did establish a couple of major injuries. You know, Uchenna Nwosu. He is going down, and he's going to be placed on IR. Their star pass rusher of theirs. He'll be done for the next 4 weeks. Tyreek Woolen, their starting corner opposite Big Mean Green over there on the other side. You know, he did not practice today. He's got an ankle, which is a big deal for corners because they got to cut, pivot, they got to move and have that burst off of there. I want to monitor that because that could be a very big loss if he wasn't able to play against the Niners. And then the Niners, honestly, you know, despite being banged up as they are, their safety, who injured his wrist, is expected to miss about a month now due to a torn wrist ligament. So not only who they just, Talanoa Huafanga, just came back this week, just came back in week 5 from an injury. Now he's out for a month. So he ends up leaving out the Niners. This is one of those games where this is going to be a grueling battle, like back and forth. Like I really believe that. I honestly don't know who to go with because I think it's going to be that close. It's in Seattle. The one thing that kind of bothers me is Geno Smith and how sometimes he continues to let down the Seattle fans and turn the ball over. So I just think that the Niners are really licking their chops in this one. I feel like they're going to be looking to try to make a statement, you know, after last week's loss. So I got the Niners in this one going into Seattle and getting that win.
All right. All right, next up we've got the next London game, and that is the Jacksonville Jaguars and the Chicago Bears. You know, Chicago stringing in a few couple wins, like you said, the offense getting slightly better, and it's funny how Caleb Williams says it. He's like, hey, I beat 3 elite teams now. You guys wanted to see how I play. Now you know. Now I'm ready. Here I am, which I think is kind of laughable. So we've got these two teams in London. Chicago is playing better on defense. The Jacksonville Jaguars did pull out that victory last week. You know, they have some fans here in London. They are looking to try and string a couple here to potentially save their head coach's job. I think going into this game, like in the beginning of the season, I would have probably even picked Jacksonville on this one. But again, the way the team has been playing, though, you know, not a whole lot to be fired up about. And it seems like Chicago is trying to turn the corner on things. So I think I'm going to lean towards the Chicago Bears on this one in London.
Yeah, you know, I'm just not buying what happened last week with Chicago. Like that they played a very bad defense. Like, honestly, Carolina, they kept coming in, they were starting to like kind of awake a little bit, especially defensively. Offensively, you already knew Andy Dalton was doing his thing. But man, Carolina's defense did not look good last week. And They left guys open all over the football field. It was very ugly to watch. Mm-hmm. So I think with that, it kind of really led and helped out, you know, the offense for the Bears and Caleb Williams kind of tear them a new one. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, I finally noticed some, you know, sense of positivity here. Like, Trevor Lawrence didn't do the best, but he didn't let the game slip away. So, made the necessary reads, made the necessary passes, and then the running game took over in the end. Like, you know, mm-hmm. Tank Bigsby, kind of a little bit of an unknown for a lot of people out there, but man, he looks like he's the better running back in Jacksonville right now, not Travis Etienne.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that this is probably going to be like one of those very physical games, and I'm going to lean towards the Jaguars in this one because, after all, London is their home, right?
It's not Jacksonville.
I think that the Jaguars end up getting another win for their coach and maybe start to turn around a little bit.
All right, excellent. Next, we've got the Arizona Cardinals, who pull out that victory at the end against the San Francisco 49ers and the Green Bay Packers here. Green Bay at home, Joe.
Yeah, I mean, this one, it's like, dude, did anybody freaking picture the Arizona Cardinals being this competitive? I mean, beating teams like the Niners, mm-hmm. just no matter where they go, they're always in the fight. They're 2-3 right now. I could have easily seen them be like maybe 1-4 at this point, but man, they are impressing and they are just making things work. So, kudos to the Cardinals. Kyler Murray, I mean, he looks really good actually, mm-hmm. as a quarterback and as a guy who just kind of he can move with his legs. He can throw the football, you know, and really confuse defenses. So he's very difficult to kind of keep under wraps. But, man, the Cardinals offense with James Conner is just kind of running through people. Really, mm-hmm. that's what it is. And then the Cardinals defense has really shown up. I mean, I can't believe that they are playing this good of football, but they are. They're just outplaying what we thought. So Cardinals
going to Green Bay. They're better than I thought.
Not an easy place to go to. Green Bay is one of the most mm-hmm. difficult places to go to. I don't care what time of year it is. I don't care if it's a blistering cold in December. I don't care. If it's like early in the fall, this is not an easy place to play. Green Bay Packers with Jordan Love, with what they've been able to put together now. Tucker Kraft, the tight end there, mm-hmm. he had a phenomenal game last week. And you look at Jaden Reed going off.
Yep.
You look at all these other guys kind of coming together and making it work. Jordan Love healthy yet again. So that gives the Packers fans hope, right? And this is kind of one of those games where I feel like the Packers just need to win. They just need to continue to win to get back in that division. Cardinals, as tough as they are, I think they're going to put up a fight. I just don't know for how long until the Packers figure things out, too. So I know that they don't play each other, you know, often, so that could be a sticking point early in the game. They're trying to feel each other out. But in the end, I got the Green Bay Packers winning.
Yeah, and you can see Green Bay, you know, put up a fight, and they didn't have Christian Watson and you know, Dobbs either in that game. So you can see the difference in not having them,
yeah.
you know, but now, but, you know, you get, you know, coming back
let's
this
call,
week.
Let's call nice. A spade a spade. Christian Watson is not very good,
yeah.
everybody.
No, I hear you there.
He might be the number one receiver on the roster on the depth chart, but he's not. He hasn't done anything since he's been in the league. So it's like him, Romeo Dobbs, who's like basically crying in the corner of his apartment because he's all mad that he doesn't get enough balls. Too bad. You're in the NFL, bro. Like, if you're upset, go prove them wrong in practice. Earn your spot. Earn your reps. Show them why you deserve to be out there. Not cry in your apartment, bro. Come on. So, Romeo Dobbs, again, they don't need you either. They don't need Christian Watson. They can do it all with the guys that they have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. Arizona suffered an injury to Will Hernandez out for the season, too. I think that's big for them on the offensive line. I'm going to go with the Green Bay Packers as well here to win at home. Indianapolis Colts and the Tennessee Titans here, Joe. Can Tennessee come back here and get some wins here in a Indianapolis Colts team that we don't really know the identity in this whole team, man? They're like up and down, defense good one week, then they're not. You know, Richardson banged up, you know, Joe Flacco's in. So, I mean, What are we getting here and out of this one? It seems like a charade of a game here. But I believe in Tennessee's defense. I think Will Levis really can, get this thing pulled back together here. I think they really need to get the run game going, though, too. I mean, there's a reason they grabbed Tony Pollard here to help run the ball and get it there when they were missing, Derrick Henry badly. So I think they need to stick to that and just eliminate the turnovers here. I mean, if they didn't have the dumb turnovers that he had, I mean, they're looking at a better record right now. They're in the positive. So I think they do play better at home, too. Right. Tough defense. Will Levis limit the turnovers here. I'm going to go with the Tennessee Titans here to win at home.
Yeah, both these teams are healthy. You know, they're pretty healthy all in all. So the only problem I have is the little bit of the enigma called Anthony Richardson. He's healthy, too. It's going to replace Joe Flacco out of the lineup. Mm-hmm. And I honestly, when you watched last week, Joe Flacco helped put up 30-plus points last week. That should be enough to win a game. And the fact that the Colts defense just couldn't arise to the occasion, that's the reason why they lost. So the Colts, until they figure something out, stop people like that. That, to me, is a big concern. When you have your offense kind of really running on all cylinders last week, but your defense can't hold up their end of the bargain, that's a problem. And going with the Tennessee Titans, this is another team where I'm not 100% confident in. Like, we've seen Will Levis struggle with poor decision-making, turning the ball over at the end of games. Basically, with those two turnovers, he cost the Titans two losses. And it's not all his fault, but you can make the case where those two games really were because of his poor decision. So the Tennessee Titans, I like the team better roster-wise. I feel like they have the potential. They have the capability. It's just, can they put it together in this game? This is a game where I feel like the Titans should win, but I don't know if they actually will, because maybe Will Levis makes another bonehead decision. Maybe he turns the ball over late in the game. The defense kind of is a little banged up, too, for the Titans. Like, they're not on the injury report, but they're a little bit banged up, just like the Colts are. So both these teams, they know each other well, so that's one thing. That's why I feel like this is going to be a very close game. But I think the only reason why I'm going to probably go with the Tennessee Titans in this one. Not very confident in the pick.
Yep.
Because it's always that we call him the enigma with Anthony Richardson, is because what are we going to get out of Richardson this week? Are we going to get a guy that's going to move the chains with his legs and then every once in a while have to make a throw and actually makes it? So that, to me, is the hang-up for the Colts. They have Richardson. He's been playing really badly this whole season. So I'm going with the Titans in this one.
All right, next up we got the Houston Texans and the New England Patriots. Drake May getting his first official start here for the Patriots. I feel bad for him because he's got to run right into the Houston Texans, who now seem like they've got their legs underneath them and moving forward. They take out the Buffalo Bills last week. And that was kind of the question for me, too, because they have been in a couple tight ones here. And what, are these guys doing here? Are they going to be that team? And they kind of showed up last week here so that they are, they can beat those tight games against these elite teams. And they are one of the toughest teams to beat in the NFL. So it is tough for New England. Like I said, they're here at 1-4 right now. It's going to be interesting for Drake May to see what he can do with this offense. I say Ramondre Stevenson, run the ball the best of that they can here. And Drake May, I think he can make some plays, though, and that's what I'm looking at here out of this team that you knew you weren't getting out of Jacoby Brissett. So I'm going to be evaluating him throughout that game. I know who he's going to be facing, the Texans, so it's going to be tough here for him, but I'm excited to watch.
Absolutely. And finally, the Patriots are making the right decision.
Right.
There's a reason why you took Drake May so early in the draft. You want him to be your future. I understand you didn't want to put him in harm's way right away because you really weren't sure how well this offensive line was going to respond. But they have been playing better. The only downside of it is the fact that they lost their Pro Bowl center, Mark Andrews. He's no longer going to be around for the rest of the season. Now, even saying that, you look at last week, the protection was still fairly okay. Like, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. So Patriots putting up one hell of a fight against the Dolphins, who's also struggling. It's almost like the Patriots didn't want to win that game.
Yeah, that's right.
Really what it came down to, it was an ugly game to watch. I ended up watching like the last quarter of it, and man, I'm glad I didn't watch the whole thing. The Texans going to New England, this is going to not only be a true test for Drake May to see, you know, just don't make mistakes, don't turn the ball over, you know, just do what's necessary. And I'm on the opposite side a little bit, Jim, on this is I think the best course of action for Drake May and the New England Patriots offensively is not to just run the ball, because that's what the Texans are expecting. They're going to load the box because they're not afraid of Drake May yet. So they're going to load the box. They're going to try to make this team one-dimensional. I think they come out right away and do high-percentage throws, just a couple, just to kind of take them on their heels, get them the back off, then implement the run, basically set the, you know, do the pass to set the run up instead of the run to the pass. So if they do that, I feel like the Patriots will actually have a legitimate shot to win this game. As good as the Texans are up and down the depth chart, as good as they've been playing, but then there's also a couple games where you're like, man, this is the same Texans team that we thought was going to win the division. Like, there's been that case too where they didn't look themselves. So could this be another game like that? It's possible, but that might make it closer than we think, you know. But I, with all that being said, I wouldn't be shocked, honestly, because Drake May gives them the ability of not just throwing the football and distributing it all over, but also the fact that he has legs. This kid, as big as he is, 6'5", 220 plus, he can actually run. So maybe he runs out of harm's way sometimes. Maybe he runs for the first down, you know, keeps the drives going. So I think the Patriots have a shot. But again, it's only if they do the right game plan against the Texans. But I think that the Texans in the end will get the win.
Right. I agree with you there too as well. We got the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the New Orleans Saints. Tampa Bay, what let one slip right there with Atlanta. Yeah. What a game on Thursday night, man. That went right down to the wire.
Game.
Oh, yeah.
That was
totally
awesome.
It was crazy. Going right into giving it up right at the end into overtime, and then, you know, Atlanta pulls out, gets the victory right away, just like that at the end. Amazing. What a game. And then that's the thing. We both had Tampa Bay, but it's tough.
Dude, they had it.
Momentum.
They had it.
Just like that. Yeah, they did.
You've got to be kidding me, bro. They had it. And they let them off the hook. You know,
they
like
did.
We like to say. So,
yes.
But man, very big disappointment taking that L from Atlanta. And this matchup would have been way better had they had Derek Carr. Seems like Derek Carr has an oblique injury. He's expected to miss multiple games. I don't know. There's no like clarification yet how many that means. But they're saying that it's bad enough to keep him out a few weeks. So that sucks for the Saints. This team that is 2-3. Again, one of those teams that are looking to try to get back into that divisional hunt, looking to push for the playoffs. And I'm sorry, but without your starting quarterback in Derek Carr, I don't care who you put in there. Put in the rookie. You know, put in the backup. Like, I don't think it's going to be enough. And Clint Kubiak is honestly his worst enemy because the first 2 weeks of this team on offense was explosion. They were scoring 40 or more points the first 2 weeks. They were killing teams. They were throwing the ball at will, mixing in the run, and it just made this team almost unstoppable. Then the last couple of weeks, what the hell changed? Clint Kubiak started calling way more runs and very little passing. So and now they're struggling. So now you don't have Derek Carr. You're going to play whoever you play. And I understand the Saints fans are like, oh, put in the rookie. He's going to do great for us. I'm sorry. I don't care who it is. He's not your starter. He's going to make mistakes like all rookies do. And, you know, Spencer Rattler, who is the rookie there. But in the end, I just think it's going to be too much for whoever is in there at quarterback. As good as the Saints defense has been playing up to like maybe last week, it's going to be a struggle for the Saints going forward without Derek Carr. So I got Tampa Bay coming in here into New Orleans. Yes, I think they're going to steal a win here. Buccaneers pretty healthy. They're really kind of running on all cylinders on their offense.
Yeah.
Like Baker Mayfield is having one hell of a year.
Yeah.
And everybody so far, knock on wood, so far, they're all staying healthy. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, and man, it's tough to stop this team. And defensively, they're getting after the quarterback. I think the Bucs could get this win.
Yeah, it was just, I think, game management at the end of that game last week. After Lavonte David got that interception, it was locked up. Like, it's game over. And you let Atlanta back in this whole situation. It was a poor game management, and that's the one thing, I guess, that can be looked upon with Todd Bowles in this team.
Our man, Captain Kirk, Captain Kirk went crazy. Over 500 yards. Yeah.
Yes.
Over, he had four touchdown passes.
Yes. Yep.
I mean,
amazing.
What? Yep. Everybody, go ahead, eat crow. Cousins is not a bad quarterback.
There you go. So, but with Tampa Bay again, this should be an easier week for them again because New Orleans, like you said, potentially starting Spencer Rattler. Who knows? But they don't have Derek Carr. Without Carr, they don't have a chance, I don't think.
Yeah.
So, Tampa Bay, I'm going with them here.
They got a chance. They always have a chance. Just when you think a team doesn't have a chance, they win.
Right, that's when they get us. That's right. You're right. All right, Cleveland Browns and the Philadelphia Eagles here. Talk about two different teams that are underwhelming, you know, right now. Cleveland Browns, the defense not looking as good as they had in the past, and still having issues here on the offensive side of the ball. And the Philadelphia Eagles, again, too. Jalen Hurts not playing too well either. Saquon Barkley is like the signing spot of that team. Surprise, surprise. You know what I mean? You know, you can run the ball and things like that, but with all the weapons, the talent you have on that team, can't muster out some wins to where a lot of people even are springing up Nick Sirianni on being on the hot seat.
Yeah, and we've kind of alluded to that before the season started, how it could be a possibility that Nick Sirianni could find his way possibly out. I know it's not likely because they're a team only like, you know, a year or two removed of having that prolific offense with Nick Sirianni. But there's some questionable decision making that he's making this year, which really has put the Eagles in a bind. They're 500 right now. They shouldn't be, but they are. And honestly, like, it's one thing after another with Nick Sirianni. Like, you look at last week how, I don't know, they had a bye week last week. Hopefully they ironed some wrinkles out there because, man, things were not looking good, you know, before their bye week. So, Nick Sirianni could potentially be on the hot seat, but I think it's a little too early just yet. But they also move on from Devin White, who they signed in free agency potentially to be a starter for this defense. He's been inactive for the last four games. They move on from him. He's cut now. He's a free agent, free to sign wherever someone needs a help at linebacker. But the Eagles and the Browns are a little banged up, but the Eagles come in very healthy now. After having that bye week, which was a godsend to them, they're getting back Devonta Smith in the lineup. They're getting back A.J. Brown in the lineup. And, man, this is really going to help this offense out. That's kind of been a little stagnant. So look for Saquon Barkley to do Saquon Barkley things, and A.J. Brown and Devonta likewise. So I think that with those guys coming back, with this Eagles team healthy after the bye week, having extra time to prepare for Cleveland, which I don't think they really need because they are struggling big time. And still, we have no word of Nick Chubb. Is he coming back this week? Is he staying out another week? So that to me is another, you know, big glaring red flag there for them. So with that all being said, I think I'm going to go with the Eagles in Philly, kind of just having their way with the Browns. I can't see it any other way. I know I said this last week when I talked about Seattle. I thought they were going to beat up on the Giants. Well, we saw how that worked. Let's see if the Browns can prove me wrong.
Well, again, after giving up so many points here against the Washington Commanders, I mean, that's the thing we're talking about. We're talking about this defense not playing up to par here in Washington, just running all, you know, plays all day on them. You know, this team has put up, you talk about the Saints the first couple of weeks, 40-plus points. That's been the Commanders the last couple of weeks here getting that offense going.
Yeah, again, but Washington now – Washington's offense with Jane Daniels, after they took off, they opened up the playbook more. Now you're seeing them really kind of get after it on offense, really starting to put up some points, and it's really helping their defense. So, like, Cleveland, they're not even close to doing that. They can't even put points on the board.
Right.
So they have more three and outs than they do points. So, I mean, the Browns, like, to me, like, they're one of the worst teams right now in football because just mm-hmm. because they're just flat out struggling. I don't mm-hmm. think it's a problem with their depth chart, with their roster. I like the players that they have. It's just they're not putting it all together.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I'm going to go with Philadelphia as well, and that brings us right into Washington. And they're playing Baltimore. So a lot of people are saying this again, Jaden Daniels versus, you know, Lamar Jackson here. These two type of run style quarterbacks here, you know, very similar, things like that. But nobody's playing better than Jaden Daniels right now. So, I mean, this is going to be a good game. I think I'm excited to see how this is going to be. This is going to be tough because it is in Baltimore, and that defense is going to play tough against this offense of Washington. But also, I think Dan Quinn's going to get this defense of the Washington Commanders ready for the Baltimore offense as well and try and contain Lamar Jackson. You know, that's got to be the key here, try and keep him in the pocket and keep him making decisions here, you know, not let him out, and that's because that's where he'll kill you.
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny because teams always try to do that.
Yes.
teams always try to contain the guy. Right? But, man, I got to admit, Lamar, the last couple of weeks, now that they started to get this game, this running game going with Derrick Henry, man, this offense is hard to stop. You worry about Derrick Henry, and the second you take your eyes off of Lamar, now he's running down the sideline. And then the second you think it's a run, now he's just kind of running out of the pocket and then throwing it across the field, over the middle of the field to Isaiah Likely. So, and we finally saw a sighting of Mark Andrews. He is still alive, everybody. He's still playing on Baltimore Ravens. And he actually caught the ball last week. So good for Mark getting involved. Not as much as he'd like to, but the Ravens, this is a very tough team. This is one of the hotter teams now. Now that they've kind of figured out some kinks here, great offensive line, tough nose, physical football is what they like to play, and they do the same on the defensive end. The Commanders, even though they're another hot offense coming into here, this is going to be one hell of a matchup because – you have two quarterbacks that are very similar to each other. I give the edge to Jaden Daniels because I feel like he's a better passer of the football than Lamar. But, man, this could come right down to the end. This could come down to, like, whoever has the ball last, whoever's got their kicker, you know, whoever kicks the field goal at the end. I really do feel like this is going to be one hell of a game to watch. I'm going to give the edge to Baltimore because since they are home. It's hard to play in. It's going to be extremely loud. How can Jaden Daniels adapt to that kind of, you know, pressure and the noise? Can he overcome that as a rookie? I think he's a very good player. I had him as one of my favorite quarterbacks coming out. I think the world of him, but this is a tough environment. I think with Baltimore and their defense, I think that's going to be the difference here.
Right, yeah. Again, I think this could be a tough game. It's going to be close. I'm going to like watching both different quarterbacks do what they kind of do. But like you said, I'm going to give tip of the hat to the Baltimore Ravens here.
That team
that's been playing at home. I think the experience on top of it all, I think it's just going to be on Baltimore's side. So I'm going to go with them as well. All right, next we've got the Chargers and the Denver Broncos. Denver has been stringing a few games together here. Bo Nix actually looking better here, you know, connecting on some touchdown passes here. Getting a little heated a little bit, you know, on sideline stuff with Sean Payton. Seems funny that Sean Payton, that happens a lot with a lot of quarterbacks. You notice that? You know, on the sidelines, you know, with their quarterbacks. But then he goes around and tells everybody, oh, no, it's all good. We love each other. That's why.
Do you know what he said? Do you know what he said?
What he said to him?
Yeah. Do you know what he said?
I can't remember.
He told Sean Payton that his play sucked. Your play sucked. He goes, mine worked better.
So he switched it, right? He mirrored it.
So clearly he switched it because he saw something and it worked out.
Yeah.
So he was basically yelling at his head coach saying, like, bro, you sucked on that call. Like, I had to change it and it worked out better. Like, I don't understand what you were looking at.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and that's the thing. Sean Payton can't be wrong. And then it ended up being this argument where he's like, hey, I love you, man.
Kiss the makeup.
So Denver's defense, though, has been lights out here right now, though, so, Joe. So now I'm looking at this game a little different here now. The way the Chargers now have been kind of, you know, they're coming off a bye week here, but – you know, that run first type of team and things like that, not really putting up a whole lot of points either, too. You know, Justin Herbert not looking spectacular. They don't have a lot of weapons. So now I'm looking at this Denver team, and I'm like, these guys can actually keep it close here. If they keep it low scoring, they've got something here now on offense. It seems like they're clicking right now. So for me, looking at this game, I think I'm going to side with the Denver Broncos here on this one. And that they surprise maybe the Jim Harbaugh-led Chargers here on this one.
So here's the thing. The Broncos offense, like last week, was a mess by the Raiders. Once they turned that ball over for a 100-yard interception, that whole game changed. They benched Gardner Minshew. They threw in Aiden O'Connell, mm-hmm. being down by 10, thinking that all of a sudden things were going to turn around. Well, when you're already in a bad situation and you just made it worse, and now you think by changing the quarterback is going to resolve everything, it doesn't work like that in the NFL. They had all the momentum, and they just piled on after that. They didn't even have to throw. They were running the ball towards the end of that game. They tired out the defense. So the Broncos, the Chargers having a getting off of that bye week, they're a little bit more refreshed. These are both two teams that face each other twice a year, know each other very well. Even though Jim Harbaugh is the new kind of sheriff in town for the Chargers, they're going to be physical with this team. And the Broncos' defense struggles against the run. Last week they didn't because they played the Raiders, who can't freaking run the ball to save their lives. But this week is going to be a tall task for the Broncos. The Chargers have a really good offensive line. I think with Herbert getting healthier now, having that bye week, it's going to really do well for the Chargers. I think the Chargers going to Denver and get this W.
All right. Next up, we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Las Vegas Raiders here. Again, now you said they made the change to Aiden O'Connell to start this game. Like he probably should have the beginning of the season, like we talked about this, and potentially maybe.
I don't even know if that's a real thing.
Yeah.
I question Antonio Pierce's decision making now because he's not even sure every week. Oh, what are we doing? Oh, I gotta talk to people.
That's what I think was weird too, is because it's like. Every time when he talked about the Aiden O'Connell thing, he was like, well, I was looking to see a spark, and I didn't really see that spark. Like, what spark are you looking for? How much bigger of a spark do you need? Like, what are you talking about? He's a younger quarterback. You need him to get better. You had him in there last season. Just keep continue with it. Then you at least have answers.
Yeah. The thing is, like, think about it. He was a rookie last year. He didn't start until halfway through that year. So he's still developing, learning the personnel, learning the NFL, you know, being a quarterback in the NFL. And you look at this year, when he had a couple opportunities to get in the games, he got rid of the ball way faster. It was under 3 seconds. Mm-hmm. The ball would be gone. Yep. Minshew holds on to the ball, then starts panicking and running around. So you got a more efficient quarterback. Yeah. Why not put the younger, more efficient quarterback and really see what you have in him? Because if that way this year, if he doesn't prove to you that he's the guy, then you know that, okay, we don't have the guy in-house. We're going to have to go look in the draft, and you have an answer. But instead, you play Gardner Minshew, journeyman quarterback. He's always been a backup. You give him the opportunity, and he's failed miserably. You look at what in that game. That game was 10-3. Raiders were in the red zone, and where it changed, where that 100-yard interception happened, Minshew rolled out. Brock Bowers was wide open. He overthrew him. I don't know how, but he overthrew him way over his head. Bowers jumped up and still couldn't reach it, and then the pick for 6. And ever since that point, it changed everything. So I agree with you, Jim. Like we called this out before the season started. Now AOC would give him a better chance, and hopefully they make that change this week.
Right. Now, on the other side, Pittsburgh, again, they had such a tight game there against the Cowboys. I really think they could have pulled it out. And honestly, watching that game, I feel like almost they would have been better if they kept Kyle Allen in the game at times. Just because he was in there, he wasn't afraid to throw a strike you know, down the middle even too. They call their easy run get play they're going to do when they put a backup in. Mm-hmm. But then he's not afraid to throw, and he throws a strike in there, making decisions. Justin Fields, we saw a bunch of times where there was dudes open, he was hesitant, and then he pulled the trigger on some that he probably shouldn't have. There was guys underneath that are open. Instead, he went for the double-covered guy that was a little bigger and then another tier down. And I feel like with the offense, it's just kind of like if they had somebody else in there, it would have been better. Like, he was holding it back because that defense was playing great. T.J. Watt gets his 100th sack, too. So I think I can't wait for Russell Wilson to get completely healthy. They said he's very close. He's penciled in as the third, you know, QB right now still. Hopefully that changes this week for them. But even if they do have Justin Fields in here, I like their options better than with the Vegas Raiders. I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers on this one.
You might be in for something here. Get this, Jim. Russell Wilson has practiced in full participation on Wednesday.
Yes.
Practice head coach Mike Tomlin announced Tuesday that, you know, he also added that Wilson will work with the second team in an effort to, get this, not disrupt Justin Fields' preparation for the Raiders game this Sunday. So it sounds like Russell Wilson is going to be healthy, is ready to go, but we don't want to distract Fields, preparation. That's so key to him because he's such a good quarterback, right? This offense has been lacking. This offense has been putrid. I don't care if they've won games. They've won them extremely ugly with Justin Fields. And then when it comes down to, you look at that Steelers-Colt game, it came down to where Fields had to throw the football to get down the field and score to get ahead again. He couldn't do it. He made poor decisions, like Jimmy just referred to, throwing into double coverage. You know, and he just couldn't connect with anybody, even if they were open. Overthrow. So, no, Fields is not the answer. This is stupid by Mike Tomlin. This is stupid by the Steelers to continue the charade of Fields is our guy. Fields is our quarterback. He's the one that's going to get us to the playoffs. No, not when you face better teams. This is not going to happen. Until you put in Russell Wilson where he's more efficient, he's going to run your offense to a T, he's going to get the ball into playmakers' hands and let them do their jobs. I don't see this team winning a whole lot of games. You can say what you want, but Fields is not the guy for Pittsburgh. And this is a problem. This is a red flag I have. You're going to Vegas. You're going to play the Raiders. Does Justin Fields panic? Just because we've seen him run a lot more than he's throwing the ball. And I'm sorry. Like,
he drops back very far, too. I don't know if you've noticed that.
Very deep.
Way
and that's
deep.
Because he's worried about the rush from anybody. So my thing is, like, it's a catastrophic thing happened to the Raiders' defensive line this week. It seems like, Christian Wilkins is now done for the year. He injured his foot. He had surgery on it. He's done for the year. Big blow to them. And this is a team that it seems like you just can't have anything go their way. Max Crosby is banged up, too. He wasn't himself completely in Denver, even though he had a couple sacks. But, man, I don't know. Is Crosby going to be out this week? We'll have to wait and see. So far, there's nothing on the injury report. But for a Raiders team, does AOC start? Does Minshew start? Like, this is the debacle that is both these teams. We don't – like, Fields sounds like he's going to be the starter. Should he be? No. But I think that both teams need to take a look in the
– Yeah.
I think they both need to start the right guy. Russell Wilson needs to start in Pittsburgh. AOC needs to start with the Raiders. That would make this game an awesome game to watch. But, we don't know. So this is what I'm going to say, Jim. I'm going to say this. If AOC starts, I got the Raiders. Okay. If he doesn't start, then I'm going to go with the Steelers. Whether
Sounds
it be
good.
Fields or Wilson.
Okay, and like you said, Mike Tomlin's just got to be a man of his word. Like he said this. He said that Russell Wilson – was the starter. Then that cap was being aggravated again.
Right.
So we're saying, hey, well, we'll push Justin Fields out there, and he can just maybe keep the ship afloat until Russell Wilson's healthy, which he has. And like you said, they were winning. They're like, all right, well, we're going to keep true to this. Russell's just going to – we're going to make sure he's healthy, fully healthy, till he comes back. Now you have your loss to the Dallas Cowboys. perfect mm-hmm. time to make the switch. Russ is yep. healthy. Here you go. Sorry, kid. You did well for us. Thank you very much. You did the job. Now sit behind and learn from Russell Wilson here. Like I said, Russell Wilson was the starter. This is where you're going to be. And instead, mm-hmm. he's playing the whole game. You know, this young kid, it would be wrong to do that and pull him out. Dude, stop. Do what you said you were going to do. Russell Wilson's your starter. This guy warmed the seat. Now get the hell out of the seat and let this guy take over again.
Exactly.
Too many games. All right, so next up, we've got the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys.
Mm, ooh, I like this
baby.
One.
This has got to be the game of the day here. That's it. This is the game of the day. Lions, Dallas. Dallas is picking up some momentum, but again, that game, Pittsburgh, I feel like even though they said, you know, Dallas was dominating, and they did to an extent, they were driving mm-hmm. a lot of times, but then the turnovers kicked in, frustration on that offensive side between CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott mm-hmm. looking the best. There's a little bit of turmoil there, you know, and things like yeah. that. You know, those guys, you know what I mean?
You bring up turmoil. Look at CeeDee Lamb and the relationship yeah. that between Dak and him. CeeDee Lamb was coming over to the sideline and he's like, oh, it's somebody's fault who doesn't throw me the ball. Like, he said yeah. it out loud enough to where Dak would hear it. Dak did not even move, didn't respond, had his head yeah. down. So there's a little bit of turmoil in that locker room right now, a little bit of frustration being built up. And I understand that, you know, they're going through – you know, tons of injuries, you know, losing their yep. left tackle, losing defensive players. Mm-hmm. Deron Bland, they're hoping, will be ready to go this week. They're hoping, they're just kind of praying that he'll be healthy enough to start him, at least to have somebody healthy back out on that defense. But, again, you talk about turmoil, Jim, and this is a team that they're not all on the same page, and they're struggling. They continue to struggle to run the ball. They're a one-dimensional offense. How much longer can they kind of keep this thing, you know, afloat?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And but I think they're vulnerable again. They don't have their defensive, you know, players here that they create yeah. that pass rush. I think they were lucky to get a little bit of that last week. But, I mean, again, it's Pittsburgh on that offensive side. And I think Justin Fields set them up for a lot of those sacks, again, with the dropbacks that he had. Stepping up in the pocket helps protect that hole outside, and when you drop back that far, you're giving him the perfect yeah. angle for those guys yep. to get in there and get that sack and disrupt it. And like you said, when you're running around, scrambling around further back, you're not making any plays, and you're not able to look down the field. So Detroit, I don't think is going to have that problem. I think you've got Jared Goff there. You've got all the weapons in the world here, whether it be the running game or the passing game, that defense. So I think the Lions are going to give the Dallas Cowboys some fits here. And even though it is in Dallas, I like the Detroit Lions in this one.
Yeah, I can see that. I mean, honestly, this is another team that just had a bye week, coming off a bye mm-hmm. week, had extra time to prepare for the Dallas Cowboys, a team that they don't face too often. So, you know, it's going to be kind of like, you know, touchy-feely in the beginning of the game for both teams to figure out what each team wants to do. But in the end, like, I just feel like even if they get Deron Bland back, you know, it's just not going to be enough. You know, this is a team that just continues to struggle, you know, on offense, continues to struggle defensively. And then the Lions, on the other hand, they're a team that is not only just playing like gangbusters. I mean, they're a very physical team. They can run the ball. They can throw the ball. They're playing better defense than last year. And I just think that Detroit Lions are going to bring it to the Dallas Cowboys. And I think the Lions actually get the win here going into Dallas.
All right. The Atlanta Falcons and the Carolina Panthers. Carolina at home. Atlanta, you know, pulling off a couple back-to-back victories here. And again, looking good. Kirk Cousins here in prime time, 500-plus yards, 400 or 4 touchdowns. And now you reach a Carolina team who looks better under Andy Dalton and playing better. But mm-hmm. Atlanta seems like they're running on all cylinders here. Yeah. That defensive side of the ball looks good. Kirk Cousins and the offense looks good. I think Atlanta is going to come away with the victory in this one in Carolina.
Yeah,
are they going to be able to play Carolina? Right? Or are they going to move this game? Like, how affected were they by?
No, they're going to play Carolina. The storm is only in Florida.
Yeah.
The Carolina Panthers, like, here's the thing is they didn't look good last week. Like, the defense did not play up to par. Offensively, I know they were trying to make things work, but in the end, it just wasn't working out. Chicago's defense was too much for them. Falcons, they're not easy either. Their defense is pretty stout. So, in the secondary, there are, like, ball hawks all over the football field. This is going to be a tough one for the Panthers, I'll tell you that much. Even though it's in Carolina, the Atlanta Falcons, they're going to continue their winning ways. They got a win against – they stole a win against Tampa Bay. This is the team that they should beat. I know that's what we're expecting. But the Falcons, they got to continue this. Keep winning. Try to claim the division now while it's early and try to stay above. So Falcons, I feel like they're gonna do enough. They're going to run the ball. They're gonna do what they do with Drake London and hopefully Kyle Pitts gets a little bit more involved. He was slightly involved in the beginning of that game against Tampa, but then kind of tailed off all of a sudden. It's like, dude, do you realize how much of a weapon this guy is? Don't get me wrong, Darnell Mooney went crazy.
Darnell Mooney went nuts.
But dude, you got Drake London, you got Darnell Mooney. Why don't you give some love to Kyle Pitts? Let's go. We're pro Kyle Pitts here on this show. Falcons, I think they get the win here.
Yeah, I agree with you, too. All right, Cincinnati Bengals and the New York Football Giants here on Sunday night football. I get to see my team in prime time.
That's right, baby.
Just to lose, you know? Here we go. But, don't say that, right? You know, but I know because I've been kind of just blowing them off again because that's my scenario here, too, because I'm like, well, they just let me down. I'm just going to pick against them so I don't say a whole lot. But let me say this. It looks like potentially Malik Nabers could come back and play in this game. But the team has looked better. That defense is really looking better. That's the one thing I think that has changed is you're finally getting pressure. In the past back-to-back weeks, they've been getting about 5-plus sacks, I think, every week. So, I mean, they're getting pressure and making things happen. Cincinnati, like I said before, 31st in the league on defense, giving up points. You know, that offense is turning around and looking better, but that defense is giving up points. So I'm looking to see how much the Giants can hold off the pass rush, basically of Hendrickson. Now, if Andrew Thomas is on him the whole time, just if he can hold him down and do that job, I think the Giants have the potential to start scoring here. And so I think this is going to be a closer game than some people can imagine here because I'm not really afraid of the Cincinnati Bengals like I have been in the past. But that being said, it is the New York Football Giants. I don't think they're where, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals kind of are even at this point. It's going to be close, but I'm going to go with the Bengals on this one.
You talked all that jazz about how the Bengals are struggling on defense. And the offense, you know, even though it's good the last couple of weeks, really not sure where they're headed. And then the Giants did what they did against Seattle. And I can't pick the Giants. I can't pick the Bengals. In New York, I agree, Jim. Like, I really do believe that this game is going to be closer than it is. And not just for the status of both teams, right? Like, I really think that this is going to be one of those things. Like, I know we mentioned on the show, like, these teams don't face each other enough, so they're really kind of unsure what the other team is going to try to do to them. And that's true. You watch any of these games where teams are not familiar with and they're playing each other for the first time in probably 4 years, and it's like it's a little bit of a feeling out process in the first quarter anyway. But, man, I really like Trey Hendrickson. I know that you do too. But there's another guy on the other side that people don't really talk about, and Sam Hubbard, who really is kind of like the unsung hero of this defensive line. When Trey Hendrickson is getting double teamed, this dude is just going through man to man, you know, blocking. So I like what I see from the Bengals, especially up front defensively. The back end is kind of where it's a little shaky, and that's kind of where the concerns are. There's another big blow to this defense. Dax Hill, the corner, is placed in IR. He's done with a knee. So I'm curious to see what kind of young up-and-coming player that they're going to have put in there or slide anybody over. So this thing, offensively, they've really kind of caught on fire the last couple of weeks. They've really found their niche with T. Higgins, with Jamar Chase, and it continues to get better. Mike Gesicki, who Wasn't really involved as much now that T. Higgins is back, but he's still part of this offense. Makes it tough to stop them. And watch out for unknown Chase Brown. This kid, who I tried to tell everybody probably around week two, I was like, watch out for this rookie. He's up and coming. He's a difference maker. And with Zach Moss getting banged up, leading the game, ankle injury, are they going to play cautionary with him? Are they going to keep him out for this week at least to see what Chase Brown can do? And what can Brown do for you? You know what I'm saying? I think he's going to be a difference maker for this team in the run game and catching out of the backfield. The Giants, man, am I surprised what they were able to accomplish last week. Holy smokes. Like, I got to give it to them. Not only, like Jim mentioned, their defensive line was after it last week. They were getting sacks. They were getting a ton of pressure. They were really bringing the heat. And the Giants offensively, without neighbors, mind you, executed, made the necessary plays. Mr. Treacy Jr.
Yes.
Quite potentially may have cracked that door open for that starting role, because not only did he play an excellent game, but he was sound. He broke tackles sometimes. Sometimes I just think he played so well that it's going to be hard for Devin Singletary to come back and be like, here's the ball. It's for you. No, I think he has to be involved from now on, and it wouldn't surprise me if he's going to take over that job, even with Singletary back. So I like the Giants in this one. I like the Bengals in this one. I'm probably going to lean towards the Bengals because, offensively anyway, I feel like even though the Giants' defense is their strength, I feel like the Bengals are going to find ways to get, T. Higgins open. They're going to get Ja'Marr Chase open. They're going to put up points. And I think they just put up just enough to stay ahead of the Giants and get a win in New York.
Right. I hear you there. And I would like to see the Giants get Jalin Hyatt involved here. Again, he just disappeared. You don't have neighbors here. And again, there it is. Darius Slayton is a big factor into the game, And Wandell is very sprinkled in there. But
does Kansas City Chiefs pick up the phone and call New York and say, hey, we noticed that you're not playing your draft pick there, Jalin Hyatt. We would love to have him. What do you want for him? Because this kid is just not getting any opportunity. And I think, honestly, like we called it before the season started, Darius Slayton is not the guy. This guy drops passes. This guy's not in the right spot he's supposed to be. And it's infuriating. How much longer of a leash are you going to give this guy until you give Jalin Hyatt a shot at that position? So I'm kind of a little peeved at that whole, scenario. But who knows? Maybe a team before week eight is going to call New York, because there are teams out there that could use wide receiver help. Maybe they call New York and get the insight on Jalin Hyatt.
Right, because, Darius Slayton, I think he was almost even in danger of being cut, I think, at one point in the offseason, you know what I mean? And now he's your number two again. Yeah. I don't get that situation. And where he was drafted, further down, it was sixth round or so, and Jalin Hyatt, a quicker, early round investment, speed guy, deep threat. Hey, here we go, nowhere, crickets. So I would like to see that eventually one of these times here. So next here we've got the Buffalo Bills here and the New York Jets here on Monday Night Football. This is the game here, but how healthy will Josh Allen be? Will he be able to play in this game? I know he got banged up pretty hard.
He's good. He's good to go.
So he'll be good to play this game, because that would be a major factor here. And Khalil Shakir, is a question.
He was out last week.
But he's questionable for to this week though too, right? Or do you think he'll be able to start? Because that's a factor here for the Buffalo.
Wait and see. Neither one of those players are on the injury report right now, so we'll wait and see. Because sometimes they might not even put a designation yet.
Yeah.
Wait till tomorrow, Wednesday. Mm-hmm. Wednesday's usually like designation day when you actually get like a questionable, a probable, whatever. Or doubtful or something like that. So we'll wait and see tomorrow to kind of look at the injury report there.
Right. So this game's going to be tough. It's going to be in New York. That defense is going to be coming here. But you always have that question mark. How is this team going to play in reaction to the coach being fired? You know what I mean? Right. You're going to see where the sides are with these guys. You know, are they going to play for this guy, you know, that who's their defensive coordinator, you know, now the leader of the team? How are they going to respond? You know, the defense is still going to play. They're still going to show up. They know the guy. And a lot of times you do see that fire in a team after a firing, and the interim coaches, you get that win right away. I'm not so sure about this one, too, because, again, the Bills are a tough team to fight. Yes, the defense isn't as pronounced as the Jets here, but McDermott has done a pretty good job overall with the defense, you know, and with despite missing a lot of parts that they had to let walk from last year and things like that, and having, you know, the injuries, you know, with
Matt Milano not being there
and things like that, too, also on the offensive side. But missing that running game that they you know could have, so this is going to be a tight game. I think it's going to be the Jets trying to keep it low scoring here. But if Josh Allen is healthy again, I think he's going to put a lot of this on his shoulders here and be the key factor in this one and give struggles to the Jets here. And I think I'm going to side on the side of the Bills on this one.
Yeah, and we've talked about the Bills before, maybe possibly reaching out to get a trade for a wide receiver, right? Because God knows they need one. Hey, yeah. New York Giants, trade Jalen Hyatt to the Buffalo Bills. Hey, you know, Raiders, we know that you're moving on from Davante Adams. I know the Bills have been in contact with Vegas about the availability of Davante and what they're looking for. The thing is, there's quite a few teams out there that are super interested that would really like his services, but the thing is, man, are they going to be willing to give up the compensation for one? Two, are they going to be able to work out a new deal with Davante? Because let's face it, as much as everybody wants to, you know, point out there like, hey, that team doesn't have enough money to get his contract. Well, listen, you morons. Like, whenever a trade gets agreed to, that player, because of the uncertainty of his future, the team that is acquiring him has to do a new deal. They have to, because it comes down to the cap space. You look at the Saints, who are major players. The Jets are major players. And there's a boatload of other teams like the Ravens. I've heard recently that the Ravens seem to be maybe even in the lead now for Davante Adams services, which would be interesting.
Yeah.
But that all being said, teams figure out a way to make it work if they really want the player. So forget about the worries about contract. Whoever does get his services, they're going to work out a new deal anyway that helps the team as well. So, but again, going to the Bills, definitely need wide receiver. I think they have to be one of these teams that got to be super aggressive. I don't care. Is it not for Davante? That's fine. But it's got to be for somebody else somewhere that you think could give you a little bit of a spark, at least on offense. So, you know, there's look at the players on the Houston Texans. They are very deep at wide receiver. You look at, you know, obviously don't want to get rid of Tank Dell, but maybe a guy like Xavier Hutchinson, who's kind of come onto the scene as of last week, showing some promise as a wide receiver. Maybe they call about him. So all I know is that this Bills offense is struggling because they just don't have the weapons. Khalil Shakir being out last week really kind of hurt them. Even though they have their tight ends and Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox, that's all well and good, but you definitely still need the receivers to show up. Keon Coleman so far has been a little underwhelming for Buffalo. They were hoping he'd be a bigger impact than what he has been, but again, he is still developing, still trying to figure things out. In this matchup, though, the Jets, I still believe they have one of the better defenses. I think statistically it doesn't look like that, obviously, but it's really because of the struggling offense. And I think the offense continues to struggle, not just because Robert Saleh got laid off, but the fact is that you didn't change anything offensively. You still have Nathaniel Hackett going to be calling the plays. It's still going to be a little dismantled, you know, offensively. And I got to apologize to Jeff Albright. It's not fucking Jason Albright, like I've been saying this
whole time. Yeah.
It's been Jeff Albright. So I apologize, Jeff, but that's on me. But he's going to have to step into this limelight now. He's going to have to make decisions in game. How well is he going to handle this? Is he going to go for it on 4th-and-2 or something at his 45? You know what I mean? Is he going to go for a field goal rather than going for the first down? Like, these are decisions that are going to be in the moment. How well is he going to handle the spotlight? So that's something to watch out for. And I still think because the Jets offense still continues to struggle a little bit, I think the Bills are going to get the better of them. I don't think this is going to be a runaway by any means in terms of score, but because they're divisional opponents, it stays close. But I think the Bills end up getting the W.
Right. I think this is going to be the game they're kind of looking for, a tight matchup. Rodgers, you know, and, you know, Josh Allen.
Or they can surprise the hell out of us, and Rodgers looks like an all-star.
Who knows? Yet. They could do it. You never know. But, again, they'll hoist up, you know, Nathaniel Hackett up on Rodgers' shoulders. And just think, there you go. You're our man. But, like, you brought up even the fact of what will they go for it on fourth down in certain situations. That brings up maybe remind me of, like, last week when the Jets were down early in the game, and it was early. And they decided to go for it on fourth down when they were clearly in field goal range. At that point, for me, it was only like, I want to say it was like 17-3 or 10 or something. Take the points. At least that gets you near, you know, closer. So then it would have been like a two-possession game. Still close because they even were able to get some more scoring after that and brought it up to 17. If they had that other field goal, I mean, then they only lost by, you know, three, you know, but that changes the dynamic of the game and how you control the game and or how you attack it situational going forward. And it was early on. Just take the points while you can. When you've got, you know, time, and I think it was even the first half still, you had time still to go before you start getting into desperation mode. And I think that was an error on their part and probably Robert Saleh's point here. But,
absolutely.
Oh, well, so now we'll see what happens moving forward. But that's it. That's the picks for this week, week six. Hopefully we can do a little better. We've got a couple of different ones
here. I'm hoping. But, you know,
situationally, some things could change before they actually play. We'll make some switches here. But, yeah, we could only get better, hopefully, on this one. You know what I mean?
Hey, you can only go up from here.
Right, exactly. That's what I mean. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining the show tonight. And also, Joe, tell everybody where they can catch the show tomorrow and other shows just like this.
Guys, listen, we really appreciate everybody tuning into the show. Really appreciate the comments rolling in. Thanks so much for joining us. If you've lasted this long, God bless you, because it's 2 hours into the show. But really appreciate all the support, too. Blitz Nation, you guys have been tremendous. You keep hitting that subscribe button for us over at Grumblings Media's channel. Head over to YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit the thumbs up because every little bit counts. Whether you subscribe, you hit the thumbs up, it all helps us grow, especially in the algorithm. It helps us get noticed a little bit more. And, of course, share it to all your family and friends that love NFL Talk. We are the best and most interactive NFL talk show you're going to find. We want to prove it to every single one of you out there, all the Blitz Nation. And also, do us a huge favor. Head over to the website, grumblingsmedia.com. There you can check out all the latest and greatest that we have to offer to you, whether it be political, sports, entertainment. It's all over there. And great articles there. If you're a reader, check out the articles. And, of course, anywhere you get your podcast.
All right. That's it for us this week. I hope you guys enjoyed it and enjoy the games this weekend. And we'll see you guys next time.